Okay, good morning. Just came into town, but have prepared this morning. Let me see. Let's just pray before we begin. Everybody, just bow your heads. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for a time to come and worship you, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that your word would speak today, Lord. You would open our hearts to its message. You would help us to understand, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would take my opinions, anything that I have, Lord, you would remove them, and you would let your word speak today, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you would bless the services following, Lord. You would be with Brother Sheffield, Lord, as he brings your word, Lord, and extracts the meaning of it, Lord. You would help us to understand, Lord, and you would just bless us this morning. We thank you for all that you give us, Lord. We pray for those that are out this morning, that you would be with them, Lord, and that everything would be well with their soul. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to... We're actually going to spend most of our time in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, and then also in Romans 3, 18 through 20. Actually, most of the time is going to be in Romans today, but we're going to start in Timothy. And we're going to look at the lawful use of the law. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And starting in verse 5, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurious persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." And this morning we're going to look at the lawful use of the law. Here in Paul is of course talking to an epistle to Timothy, instructing him to a young man following in service to Christ and preaching and ministering to others, and he's preaching against legalism. He's counseling him on legalism, and he's telling him that he's talking of those who have turned aside unto vain jangling, and they desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say in verse 7, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Now let's turn to Romans 3, chapter 3, 18 through 20, and let's look at the law and what Paul says here about how to use it lawfully. Start in verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin." So here in 19, we see the first thing that I'm going to point out is that God points out through Paul is that every mouth may be stopped. One purpose of the law is that every mouth may be stopped. When people come as they did in Christ's time, in our Savior's time, when people were coming with their, the Pharisees were coming with their righteousness, they were coming with they had made the law something that they could keep. It was something of substance to them, and something that they could keep score with. And it says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our evidence of our salvation is our faith, and our faith should not be in our own righteousness. Our faith should be in those things that are not seen, and things seen is God's righteousness. We're saved by God's righteousness, and that's what we should trust in. When He reveals Himself to us, when He reveals Himself and He changes our heart, and He transforms us, we need to trust in His righteousness, not our own righteousness. If we look in, let's look at the second thing here. Is that all the world may become guilty before God, the end of 19. We need to realize that sin is in us. Sin is not something that it's not something that comes from outside of us. The Lord, He talks about the heart. Let me see. If we go to, let's go to Mark 2, chapter 2, 16 and 17, and look at how the Pharisees were using the Pharisees were applying the law unlawfully here. Chapter 2, 16 and 17. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And back in Timothy, we don't have to turn there, but it said it talks about the law. The law is for sinners. It's the schoolmaster. It says another place. It's to drive us to Christ. It's to show us our own sin. It's not made for those that think they already have it, and those that think they already have the way to salvation because they don't in their own righteousness. It's those who, and I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, those who are bankrupt. I mean, like the woman at the well, or so many came to Christ and they really had nothing to give Christ, and he saved them. And let's go to a third point here in Romans. Okay, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so the third thing is that the law is the knowledge of sin. It was put forth by God to give us, if you look from Adam to Moses, there was no law, actually. Adam had a law, and he broke that law. Adam's one law was, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He had a law. he transgressed that law. And God gave us a law after that through Moses, and he gave us the law to give us the knowledge of sin, and it's to show us our unworthiness. So if you're using the law lawfully, and you're using it in your own life lawfully, it should show you your sin, and it should show you your depravity and your hopelessness. If you're using the law lawfully, if you're using it unlawfully, it's something that you try to keep. And I'm not saying that after we are saved, we become a new creature, and we do strive to be better, but actually the sovereignty of God doesn't stop when we're saved. We still have to yield ourselves to the Spirit, and we have to yield ourselves to be changed and to be conformed. There is responsibility. Our responsibility is to yield ourselves to love others. That's the root of not committing adultery. I wish I had those verses, but, and I apologize. I'm not organized at this yet, but I'm working on it in this teaching. But okay, let's go to Galatians 2, 16 through 20. Okay. Starting in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. This is where that responsibility is coming in. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself for me. So we still, it's not that we don't still live. We live by the law. We are dead to the law, but we live for Christ. It's not a negative thing. It's not a set of things that we do. It's more, why would you want to go back to being dead? Why would you want to go back to being in that bondage of the flesh? Instead, we need to be transformed. We need to yield ourselves to God and live in the Spirit, and we need to do it out of almost a joy and a gratitude, a newness of life. We can't let the law be a yoke. The yoke was, put around the neck of the oxen. It was a weight, and it was bearing them, and if you look at Romans, if you look back to Romans, Paul brings up a question after he's gone. Romans 8, 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's amazing. It goes on to say we're joint heirs with Christ, and we're accepted into that family. And if He's paid such a heavy debt and released that load from us, I mean, what is our response to that? Our response is Him working in our lives to glorify Him. And it's not a burden. It's not, it shouldn't be a burden. If it's ever a burden, then it's, I think you're using the law unlawfully. And even once you're saved, we need to yield ourselves to Christ, how He wants to use us, and we need to use the law lawfully to others also. But this is mainly how we apply the law to ourselves. It's for those not saved, it's to stop your mouth, because you can't reply again. If you think you have something to give, I mean, you can look at the Sermon on the Mount, and He says, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." And that part that is really scary is, "As your Father in heaven is perfect," because even if you think you're perfect, there's no one that is as the Father, because that is beyond what we even know, and as perfection. Think on sins. I mean, we might can control some outward sins, and we might can keep some rules that we think are fine here, and others keep their rules, but our motivations are still there, and that's still sin. I think I heard a preacher say one time that we sin enough in an hour to send us to that there's enough sins committed in 1 hour by each person to send us all to hell. Well, I would say enough in a second, maybe a minute. I mean, even what we give as righteousness sometimes, and is tainted with self righteousness. So we need to use the law lawfully, and we need to serve in the Spirit. Let's go to. I'm going to end with a quote I found from, and it's about being dead and buried with Christ. And it's from Spurgeon's Sermon Notes. I found this. Okay. In the 4th century, when the Christian faith was preached in its power in Egypt, a young brother sought out the great Macarius. "Father," said he, "what is the meaning of being dead and buried with Christ?" "My son," answered Macarius, "you remember our dear brother who died and was buried a short time since? Go now to his grave and tell him all the unkind things that you have ever heard of him, and that we are glad he is dead and thankful to be rid of him, for he was such a worry to us and caused so much discomfort in the church. Go, my son, and say that, and hear what he will answer." The young man was surprised and doubted whether he really understood, but Macarius only said, "Do as I bid you, my son. Come and tell me what our departed brother says." The young man did as he was commanded and returned. Returned, "Well, and what did our brother say?" asked Macarius. "Say, Father," he exclaimed, "how could he say anything? He is dead." Macarius said, "Go now again, my son, and repeat every kind and flattering thing you have ever heard of him. Tell him how much we miss him, how great a saint he was, what noble work he did, how the whole church depended upon him, and come again and tell me what he says." The young man began to see the lesson Macarius would teach him. He went again to the grave and addressed many flattering things to the dead man, and then returned to Macarius. "He answers nothing, Father. He is dead and buried." You know now, my son, said the old father, what it is to be dead with Christ. Praise and blame equally are nothing to him who is really dead and buried with Christ. So, using the if we use the law lawfully and we understand how free grace is, it's only then we can understand. It's only then that we can understand responsibility and how we think about our lives as Christians. I mean, I think it's applied backwards a lot of times. People are taught in Sunday school or whatever. They're taught the rules before they're taught the mercy. And if you understand the mercy, then you can understand that it's not bondage, and the law can be applied lawfully to ourselves and also to a whole other thing that we could do on judgment that Romans has. If you judge another brother, then you need to measure yourself by that same judgment. That's another lesson. But today we just need to look at how we use the law. It's to stop every mouth. It's that all the world may be found guilty, and it's to give us the knowledge of sin, so that we might be transformed, and He reveals Himself to us, and then we live for Christ. Thank you. I'm sorry, Father. Still getting this down. Hopefully the Lord speaks, even though I stutter. But, okay.